Good morning. This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Ferguson, Missouri, and Staten Island, New York, came to Baltimore last night. More than 100 protesters moved along Baltimore streets last night protesting grand jury decisions not to prosecute police officers involved in the deaths of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, and Eric Garner in Staten Island, New York. 30-year-old Brandon Miles was one of the protesters.
Right about now, in the United States, in the greatest country in the world, we're seeing such criminal acts by the same police that say they're supposed to be serving and protecting. If you're going to serve and protect, I mean, what about our rights?
With us to talk about the aftermath of these grand jury decisions is Carsonia Wise Whitehead, Assistant Professor of Communication and African American Studies at Loyola University, Maryland. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me back.
So glad you're here. And joining us by phone is Glenn Ivey. He was state's attorney in Prince George's County from 2002 to 2010, before that a federal prosecutor. He's now partner in the Washington law firm Lethwich and Ludoway. Welcome, Glenn.
Thank you.
Professor Whitehead, what do you hope comes out of these protests?
I think first that this is a very exciting time. I think that when we approach these moments where change is happening on the ground, when people feel that they can seize back control of what it means to live in a democracy, when they can remind the government that it's a government for the people and not a government that is designed to control the people, it's exciting to see that. What I hope comes out of this is that as the groups continue to organize around the country, that we begin to connect the dots and we begin to be clear about what our targets are. I think that when you kind of shoot arrows out into the forest and you don't have a target in mind, you're bound not to hit anything. That we need to be clear about what we're trying to do. We have talked about body cameras for police officers, but with the Eric Garner incident, where there was a videotape and they still chose not to indict, now we're questioning whether or not body cameras will actually work, if body cameras will not be seen as that last line of defense where we can get a clear-cut decision and a clear-cut story, then perhaps that's not what we should be pushing for. We've also talked about a national database of all police officers that have been involved in incidences involving unarmed civilians. We've talked about strengthening civilian review boards, particularly here in Maryland, where they can actually mete out punitive decisions that can hold and can hold police officers accountable. We've also talked about more diversity training for police officers to help them to learn how to react and respond in the communities in which they've been assigned.
It sounds like you're putting all those forward as possible targets of what people who are concerned should be pushing for.
Yes, we've put all those forward and we've laid them out on the table. We also understand that in every community around the country, there are different needs that people have. When you look at what happened last night, that it wasn't just in Baltimore. It also happened in Washington, D.C., in New York, in Boston, in Atlanta, that communities around the world are understanding that we are at a crisis point, that black and brown lives, we are being reminded every day that they do not matter in this country. So the question is, what will change that? Is it just about diversity training? Is it just about body cameras? Or is it really about doing the hard work where we begin to question how people are trained in this country around race relations? That's the hard and messy and long work that we have to do. It's the kind of work I've been talking about with my colleague, Dr. Martha Wharton. She's also a parent of a soon-to-be teenager. And we've been trying to plan and strategize, what can we do? Because everyone has a role to play. What can we do to help parents of teenagers who live in these communities begin to respond, because everybody can't march, but everybody has to respond.
Glenn Ivey, let me bring it to Maryland with this question. Does the grand jury system in Maryland work differently than it does in Ferguson or New York?
Well, there are some differences, especially with Missouri. You know, they have 12 instead of 23, for example. They don't have the same kinds of secrecy restrictions as Maryland. That's why Missouri was able to release all of the documents and the transcripts from that grand jury. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to, what's the grand jury's vote going to be? And I think part of what was shocking to me was, in New York in particular, that grand jury voted to not indict that officer. You know, the list of some of the things the professor was talking about, I certainly agree with. And I would add, though, that, you know, justice in the specific cases has also got to be a critical mm-hmm. piece of that. There's got to be accountability, and grand jurors need to understand that, prosecutors need to understand that. And when you get past the indictment stage, Trial juries and judges need to understand that as well. If you get to the point where you get a conviction and a sentence needs to be imposed, that needs to be something that where there's a deterrent message that comes out of it.
You said you found the New York decision in particular shocking. Shocking because there was such clear video?
The clear video, I thought, made it, it wasn't a he said, she said kind of scenario anymore. I think in Ferguson, you know, you had sort of conflicting statements and things that might have been an issue there. But the other big factor, I thought, was that the police officer used a method of force that had been banned by the New York Police Department, the chokehold. And so when you use force that violates the rules of your own department, it really should put the police conduct in a different category. Most of these cases are police shooting cases, and they're split-second decision, and it's one-on-one, and they say, you know, I acted consistent with my training, and I thought my life was at stake. That's clearly not what happened here. He wasn't trained to use chokeholds. Mm-hmm. Chokeholds had been banned, and there were six other officers around Garner at the time. I think it was six. At the time, he decided to use the chokehold, and he did it from behind. And lastly, it was over, taxes for selling loose cigarettes. It's hard to think of a scenario mm-hmm. where the infraction could be more minor than that.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Glenn Ivey, former federal prosecutor and former Prince George's state's attorney, and with Carsonia Wise Whitehead, assistant professor of communication and African-American studies at Loyola University, Maryland. Our producer, Connor Graham, spoke with Liam, a 19-year-old protester at the Inner Harbor last night. He gave only his first name, and here's what he said.
It's really easy to sit on your throne of white privilege and let things like this happen. But it's important to realize that not everybody has the same privileges that you do. Innocent people are dying left to right, and it's just not okay to sit to the side and let it happen anymore. People need to stand up.
Professor Whitehead, for white people who feel as Liam does, what do you see as their role in the conversation that's unfolding?
I think what's interesting with Liam's comments, these are the same comments that we addressed at Red Emma's on Tuesday when we had a teach-in. I was working with Reverend Huber Brown from Pleasant Hope Baptist Church, and that was a question that was raised. What can you do? Not just white people. What about for older people? If you are not in college and you don't have, concentrated amounts of time where you can march and you can die in, when you have invested in the system, you are a product of the system, you have bills that you have to pay, to the system, what can you do? And some of the things that we talked about was finding ways to bend your white privilege or bend your middle class privilege or bend your educational privilege to help those that are on the ground. If students are out and they're marching for hours at a time, can you take meals down? Can you take blankets down? Can you write an op-ed? Can you call into a radio station? Can you go and speak to the local police chief in your community and talk about the ways in which police officers are train to respond to your community? Can you meet with principals and have them stage, work with the PTA to set up meetings for students to have a forum to be able to talk about this? I think it's easy to sit back and look at those who have, quote, privilege. Nobody wants to give up privilege. It's easy to talk about that. I think the harder work is really encouraging and forcing and acknowledging those that are actually trying to do something with their privilege to make things better. It's a question that I ask myself. I am not a college student. I think this movement that's happening is one that's been grasped by college students. Like, this is their time. And years from now, they won't remember the test that they took, but they will remember what they did in response to the injustice that they saw in the world.
U.S. Attorney Eric Holder and the U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder and the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York, Loretta Lynch, who may succeed Eric Holder, have both promised federal investigation. Glenn Ivey, what are the chances that a civil rights prosecution could move forward in these cases?
I think it's greater in New York. I mean, the challenge is that the civil rights laws have a willfulness standard, which is a fairly high bar that needs to be met. But I think in this case, you've got video, which is very strong evidence. And again, you've got the officer acting in a way that isn't consistent, in fact, violates the departmental policies because it's such a dangerous move. And it's excessive force for or use of a level of force for a very minor offense. So they're not easy standards to make, but they can be done. And Loretta Lynch actually, you know, really made her name on these types of prosecutions as a federal prosecutor. So I think there's a good possibility there. I think the Ferguson scenario is a tougher one. I really do, and I'm not sure that they're going to come out with an indictment there. But I do think you'll see pattern in practice activity where they try and force the department to change the way it handles policing and trains the police out there.
Kate, we have just less than a half minute left. How hopeful are you that the federal government will be able to bring what you see as justice?
I like to keep my hope alive, in the words of Jesse Jackson. I believe that change will come. I believe that as people continue to push, they continue to work, they continue to put their bodies on the line, they continue to bend their privilege, that change will come. Change often comes in this country when people rise up and they decide that the government has to be held accountable and the government has to work for us. So I'm very hopeful that change is going to happen. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I believe that as the arm continues to bend, it will bend towards justice.
And if I could add, you know, voting in the prosecutors, the votes make a difference as to who gets picked to be the police chief. Those are critical impact, can have a critical impact on these kinds of cases.
Voting
and
counts.
Also voting as a juror when you're on a trial juror or a grand juror. The public can have an impact in those roles, too.
I wish we had more time for this conversation. I know this conversation will continue, and I hope I can continue it with you. Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Kay Wise-Whitehead, Assistant Professor of Communication and African American Studies at Loyola University, Maryland. Glenn Ivey, a partner in the Washington law firm Leftwich & Ludaway, former state and federal prosecutor. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead, what movies you need to see this winter. Stay with us.